Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
From Washington, D.C., hope you're having a great Thursday morning. It's Thursday, January 17th, and we are in our nation's capital here at EWTN to cover the March for Life. So many great things going on in and around this area to celebrate and to educate and to enlighten those of us who are already pro-life to learn more and hopefully to witness to others. So much going on, not just with our coverage, but as I mentioned, with the entire event, which pretty much starts today and then runs into the weekend. Now, if you go to EWTN.com as well as marchforlife.org, and we've partnered with them for many events, you will see a whole host of different activities. So I encourage you to do that. If you're traveling, and if you're on your way to D.C., which many of you are, in our home state of Michigan, for example, we have over 50 buses and about 900 people that are coming in. And that's just from Right to Life in Michigan. That's not even including the dioceses that are bringing buses in. So we're excited in the Great Lakes State, and many other states are doing the same thing. As far as the travel is concerned, the weather looks pretty decent. We did have snow earlier in the week in Washington, a lot of it, but for the march itself and for today, it's going to be cloudy and a high in the upper 30s, low 40s. And then for the march tomorrow, what they're telling us is right now, of course, that could change because it's the weather, but we're looking at mid to upper 40s and partly cloudy to mostly sunny skies. So that's very comfortable and very doable, especially for those of you who may still be coming in tonight and overnight, traveling. A lot of people do the red eye and they come in on Friday, go to the march, and they go back home on Friday night. Please stay tuned to all of our great programming, our morning shows, afternoon shows. I'll be on Al's show this afternoon talking about a few of the big stories. And I look forward to covering the march for EWTN to work with Catherine back in the studio and Damon out in the field and all the great folks that work behind the scenes, including my field producer, Greg Hendrick, and our wonderful operations overseer who just handles everything, Johnny Kay, John Kuklinski. These guys do a great job, guys and gals, I should say. Again, EWTN.com and marchyourlife.org. Just to give you an example of what's going on this week, there are a number of showings, screenings for the new movie Unplanned, which is the story of Abby Johnson's conversion to Catholicism and also her walking away from a job, a prominent position at Planned Parenthood in Austin, Texas, and coming into not only the pro-life movement, but the Catholic Church. And that happened not too long ago, as a matter of fact, and she has been doing such a great job of getting witness out there and really working, trying to work with people on the inside of Planned Parenthood to bring them out and into forgiveness and healing and into the light of life. She has a book by the same name, Unplanned, and there are a number of screenings that are going on around the city of D.C., including at the Headquarters Hotel, which is the Renaissance Marriott, and then downstairs in the Renaissance for the entire weekend. It's a great conference. All types of pro-life groups and organizations are down there passing out information. There are prayer services. There are congressional events. There will be the Rose Dinner tomorrow night with Vice President Mike Pence as the keynote speaker. That's big news. We're still waiting to hear who's going to be speaking from the administration at the rally tomorrow. But again, there is so much going on. And here's the other good news. So those of you who aren't coming in, you know that in your area there has been, either has been or will be, some great pro-life events. Let's take a listen. My wonderful producer for Catholic Connection, Andrew Krucek, put together what we call an audio montage. Some of the sound bites of the interviews that we've done over the past few weeks leading up to the start of it all, really, the big March for Life in D.C. So take a listen.
Because, you know, everyone comes to the March for Life and the pro-life sort of eyes are upon us, it's kind of a wonderful moment to educate on what we think are the most pressing needs in building a culture of life. And so this year the theme is unique from day one. Pro-life is pro-science. We're really just emphasizing this beautiful truth that science and really faith, I guess you could say, but science and life go hand in glove. They're not sort of in opposition to each other. other, sadly, the other side would sometimes sort of pit it.
We had just been to the March for Life, and of course, you know, how can you not be moved when you go to the March for Life,
right.
You know? And so we thought, well, why don't we take this momentum that we've built, because there are a lot of people from the West Coast can't go to the March for Life, because that's
right.
very far. And so we thought, well, why don't we do like a sister event, walkforlifewc.com.
The Emerald Coast Walk for Life is organized by the Emerald Coast Coalition for Life, and it's a local ministry that helps abortion-minded women. And we just didn't have one in our area, and so the board members for the ministry just decided it's time for us to organize this event and bring together like-minded people that want to bring out that pro-life message in the Pensacola area.
It's Sunday, January 20th, from 1 to 3 p.m. So we're going to have the first ever Alamo March for Life from 1 to 2 p.m., and then the 43rd Rally for Life. And it's going to be all down to Alamo Cenotaph and commemorate all the defenders of the Alamo, including Davy Crockett and Jim Bowie and the like. So we're going to have it down at the Alamo. And none other than our own First Lady of Texas, Cecilia Abbott, will be our keynote speaker. So it's going to be an incredible event. We march from the Alamo in the Cenotaph in front of it, around Travis Park, and back to the Alamo.
That was Jeannie Mancini to start off our clip from the March for Life. Then we heard from Eva Montaigne from San Francisco's Walk for Life West Coast. Also, B.B. Reed from Pensacola, Florida, where they already had their beautiful event. And then coming up this weekend, you heard Patrick Von Dolan talking about the event down in San Antonio, Texas, with the San Antonio Family Association. I want to have you listen to this very powerful, the audio from this powerful video that the March for Life has put together. I want to leave you with this as we head into the break. And I will see you tomorrow on the TV. And if you listen to the radio, if you're in the car, you'll be hearing the simulcast of our coverage of the March for Life. This is why we march. Pro-life is pro-science, and we are all unique from day one. Take a listen.
Imagine for a moment, if you will. Imagine if we never had a Martin Luther King, Mahatma Gandhi, a Bob Marley, a Lauryn Hill, Mother Teresa, a Joan of Arc, an Albert Einstein, a Rosa Parks. What would our world look like? How would our world have not have changed or shifted? Blessed and gifted we as humans are to be entrusted with the power to birth stars, the stars of life. Although it be, life isn't fair. So it is the decision to conceive a dream only to turn it into a nightmare. Take a minute here and imagine if your right to life is quickly snatched. All of your purpose, goals, and aspirations trapped inside of a shell never to be hatched, yet scratched, itched. You were hand-stitched by God. God's DNA in us at the very moment of fertilization. Even if you're a twin, there are no two just alike. No duplication. No fingerprint on earth, past, present, or future is like ours. You're beyond fascination. There is none like you. You are different, peculiar, unique, distinct. Now imagine if all of who you are and what you're to become is suddenly extinct. You existed for a while, but now abruptly aborted. God's sheer frequency of love sent through man, conceived by woman, yet mankind distorted. 60 million unborn babies aborted since Roe versus Wade. 60 million cures for diseases that could have been made. 60 million ideas of light to invade this dark world shade. 60 million songs of love and life that will never be played. 60 million hearts cut by death's spade. Made in the image of God, we were meant to be fruitful and to multiply. Instead, we subtract, divide, and fractionalize, choosing who has the right to live and rise. While 67 to 90% of preborn babies diagnosed with Down syndrome are chosen to die. The screams of our unborn seeds can be heard if we stop and listen. I've heard the cry. Now I'll march for life and made it my mission.
Beautiful video, and I think that says it all. Coming up, we're going to be continuing our pro-life conversation with Father Matique from the Station of the Cross, all about Catholic doctors, and moving into a conversation with a Catholic doctor, Dr. Barbara Golder from the Catholic Medical Association, keeping you in touch with all the activities in and around D.C. as we move into the March for Life. Stay tuned.
Holy Spirit Roman Catholic School is a top-performing school in the Diocese of Lansing. This fully accredited school is located in South Brighton. Their mission? To offer a distinctly Catholic formation of children and youth through excellence in education. Since their opening in 2001, their goal is to integrate the teaching and practice of the Catholic faith into their students and families while simultaneously providing a quality academic education. Call 810-900-9050 to schedule a tour or go to holyspiritrcs.org.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
Hello, this is Steve Ray. I'd like to invite you to go on a pilgrimage with me. Why a pilgrimage? It's life-changing. It makes the Bible come alive. We have several coming up in the fall and winter of this year. St. Paul Cruise, 9 biblical sites, Mexico and Guadalupe. It's very safe and beautiful, by the way, and many to the Holy Land.
Pick the pilgrimage that's right for you. Go to AveMariaRadio.net and click on the pilgrimage link. There's 2 coming up and a lot more to come. AveMariaRadio.net. The next Third Sunday concert at Old St. Mary's in Detroit in Greektown is on January 20th at 2 p.m. and features a program of music for 2 organs. Dr. Joanne Clark and Bob Barnhart will be performing works by C.P.E. Bach, Antonio Soler, and Adolf Hesse. There is free and guarded parking and no admission charge. Please see oldstmarysdetroit.com for details. That's oldstmarysdetroit.com.
A beautiful Thursday morning, and we are going to be talking all about life. We do that a lot here on EWTN and Ave Maria Radio because we're your pro-life radio networks, of course. And it's an honor to bring to the program Father Robert Matague. And those of you who listen to Station of the Cross may be familiar with his program, and those of you from Ave Maria University and who follow him online are familiar with his work. He has quite an impressive resume, and he actually interviewed me this past Monday, and what an honor that was, and is great to have him on the program, especially this day before the big March for Life in D.C. Father is a Jesuit. He is also very close to the folks with Courage, and the Catholic Medical Association has an expertise as well in bioethics and a great understanding of it. And some really neat articles that he's had, some of the blogs that he writes, and we'll give you the link to that as well. But, Father, thanks for joining us, first of all. And I thought you would be a great interview this morning as we look at the whole theme for the March for Life, which is pro-life is pro-science. So thanks for joining us. And your thoughts on that, because it really is, and so many people, I think, sometimes are afraid to defend life because they think that it's anti-science. And yet, when we come right down to it, God is a great scientist. He created everything, so we shouldn't be afraid of defending life from a scientific perspective, because actually it's pretty easy to do when you come right down to it. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, Teresa, I'm glad to be of service on your program and the cause of life. And yes, I agree with you completely. You know, when I taught medical ethics to undergraduates, they say, Father, why are we talking about conscience clauses? When you look at the life issues of contraception, abortion, euthanasia, science, the best science and reason as expressed in natural law, are all on the side of life. And it seems that what we decide to do is say, well, Catholics, we kind of have this weird quirk. You know, we wear scapulars, we put schmutz on our forehead once a year, and we're kind of oogie about the life thing. So please leave us alone. And that's crazy because the science is on our side. And the life issues are most fundamental, especially as the life issues relate to human sexuality. Because I would tell my students, human sexuality is a comprehensively human issue. And if you get that right, nearly every other moral issue falls into place. And if you get that wrong, nothing's going to fit. So this is where we have to take our stand on the life issues.
And isn't this what's happening right in our own church? I mean, we know that at the March for Life and these other beautiful gatherings, we look at the culture, we look at laws, we look at all these different things, but a huge rejection, open rejection, going back to Humana Vitae in the 60s of so many in the church, and then the fallout from that. I mean, we're seeing the results of that in so many ways, negative results right in the church, Father.
Well, you know, I agree with you. The rejection of Humanae Vitae and all that goes with it has been devastating to the life of the church. Look, if you take the incarnation seriously, and if you take Christ as the Logos, of the Word of the Father, seriously, then life is the result of a very intelligent design. And if you say to God in reality, never mind, we got this, and what we're going to do is have rationalizations to facilitate our bad impulses, how can that not end as a disaster, not only as a civilization, but as people who identify themselves as disciples of Christ?
Yeah, amen. We're chatting with Father Robert Matejc. He's a Jesuit, a member of the Maryland Province of the Society of Jesus, a professor of philosophy and theology, has a lot of experience in spiritual direction, retreat ministry, religious formation, teaching philosophy at Ave Maria University, and also known for his classes in both rhetoric and in medical ethics. How do you think so many in the church got off track with this, Father? Is it because of that open rejection and the confusion of the 60s?
Well, it depends on how far back you want to go. I mean, conceivably, we could go back as far as Adam and Eve. We could go as far back as to Pope Leo XIII and Pius X sounding the alarm about modernism. But certainly the rejection of Humanae Vitae, that perennial teaching of the church, what had been the teaching of all Christian bodies until the Anglicans jumped ship in the 1930s, I think that's the key. And you see, if the church can be so wrong about something so fundamental, then why trust the church about anything? And
right.
Then we throw a blanket over all of it by using the word conscience as an excuse for everything and anything. Those two together, so people weren't looking for guidance, they were looking for excuses. You put all that together, the mess is inevitable.
So tell us about one of your recent articles, and where can we find it, first of all? Will Catholic doctors soon be safe, legal, and rare? Where should people go to get a copy of it?
You can go to aletheia.org, aletheia.org. And I have a column that comes out every Wednesday morning. But if you go to the website and type in my last name, MCTEIGUE, and just type in the word that, my name and doctors, you'll find I have a stack of columns I've written about medical ethics and doctors.
All right. So what is your concern regarding Catholic doctors that you wrote
about?
Well,
I think that there's going to be social and legal pressure applied against doctors. And everyone thinks that you know, Donald Trump is going to save the world. I'm not an apologist for any politician. But politicians come and go, but the culture is drifting in a direction where they're going to look at Catholic doctors and say, look, you better get on board with the culture of contraception and abortion and euthanasia and transgenderism, or you need to find another line of work. That's starting in the States. We've got a brief window of opportunity with the present administration, barely, but it's going to get worse before it gets worse. And I work with a lot of medical students now in both secular schools and self-identified Catholic schools, and their Catholic faith and integrity in reference to natural law are positively unwelcome. And there's going to be enormous pressure for them to either comply or get out of the business entirely.
So suggestions for them? How can they stand up against this tide, this huge, I don't want to say tide, but tidal wave, I guess, tsunami, that is against everything that we believe and hold near and dear in our Catholic faith?
Well, the first thing they need to do is read Ephesians 6 and 1 Peter 5 and understand that they're in a spiritual battle. That's the first thing. And then there is strength in numbers. Everyone who's in medicine or a medical student or a resident needs to join the Catholic Medical Association. If you're a med student, find out what the CMA offers every summer with a boot camp for new med students. And you need to become informed on the Catholic moral tradition, especially that of natural law. I met a lot of bright Catholic medical students who are technically skilled but have absolutely no philosophical training at all. You're going to get eaten alive. And then you have to study classical rhetoric and apologetics. Huh. It's great to know the truth of the faith, but you have to be able to tell the truth of the faith persuasively.
The thing that amazes me, Father, is it's just common sense. I know that common sense isn't so common anymore, but one of the things that led me back to the Catholic Church, this is my, I think, the grace of my background as a journalist, and finally admitting how going away from the teachings had really wreaked havoc in my own life, but then doing the research, taking the time to look at, okay, what does the Church teach about contraception, what does the Church teach about abortion, and why, and then looking at the scientific evidence to show support repeatedly, over and over and over again, to the nth degree, for the natural law.
Well, you know, when I was teaching at seminaries before and after my university teaching, I tell the seminarians I was a new priest, and I was at a wedding reception, and this young woman sat down next to me and said, "Well, Father, I've been married for 3 years. I've been on the pill all that time, and I'm ready to start a new package of pills unless you have something to say to me." Mm. And we talked for an hour, and she threw the pills away, and then, you know, she made a commitment to go to confession. And I asked the seminarians, "Well, how did that happen?" And I said, "Well, first of all, I went to the chapel and prayed to be ready for someone like that. And secondly, I paid attention while studying moral theology, so I knew what the Church taught and why, which is key. And third, I made it my business as a humanities major to understand the science of contraception. If we're not really invested in the prayer, the study, and the research, then we're going to be useless, and we're going to offer people nothing more than a shrug of the shoulders and mumble something ridiculous about conscience."
Now, if she brought that up to you, though, it was obvious, and I'm sure you recognize this as a priest and a man of prayer, that there was something gnawing at her, that she's had a priest sitting next to her, so she engaged in the conversation.
Right. Somehow she had some sense that something wasn't quite right.
Right.
And maybe she heard secondhand or thirdhand that the Church was squeamish about contraception, to put it in the world's terms. Or there was something about, you know, maybe physically and emotionally she was having a hard time with it. But I think she was asking for help. She didn't approach me with a sense of defiance. But I think she was looking for help. And there could have been the easy way out and just said, "Well, follow your conscience," then I could take another drink. Or I could get into a conversation that could have turned bad in a public forum. And I think with God's grace, I made the right choice.
But you mentioned something very important where you prayed prior to that encounter.
Right. Right. I mean, ultimately, we're here not to win arguments, but to win souls. And we have to say to the people in our care, because of who God is and because of who you are to God, I choose to love and serve you with the truth. We'll express it with clarity, and we will express it with charity, but we will be truthful. And that's an act of love. And that love is the fruit of prayer. There's no substitute. There's no shortcut.
We have to take a break. When we come back, I want to get back to your article, by the way, that we just mentioned. And the title of it is, "Will Catholic Doctors Soon Be Safe, Legal, and Rare?" And by the way, we have Barbara Golder from the Catholic Medical Association coming up after this interview with Father Matej. You said that at the Catholic Medical Association boot camp, I experience a grace that does not come easily for me, namely hope. In our present time and place, when so many social, cultural, legal, and spiritual forces appear to be arrayed faithful Catholics, it was uplifting to me, young Catholic faithfuls who are intelligent, committed, and passionate. These young men and women are skilled and disciplined learners who are ready to pay the price to become faithful Catholic doctors. I was edified by their courage and zeal, and I was saddened by their poverty. What do I mean by poverty? Well, not most people mean by that word. What I have in mind is their relative isolation, their lack of resources, and their expectation of struggle, abuse, and persecution. There's so much right in those couple of paragraphs, Father, because just the fact that you received hope, I think some people would think it would be the opposite. A priest coming into an event would be the normal thing, or people think, gosh, here comes Father, I can get some hope from him. But you received hope from them.
Well, that's right. I tell my friends only half jokingly I'm a dark, brooding, melancholic Irishman with an apocalyptic imagination. And yet, here are these young people, very talented, very generous, eager to learn, and ordering their lives to pay the price of being faithful Catholic healthcare providers. And the fact that they're getting good mentors and good guidance from the Catholic Medical Association does give me hope that we're in a battle where we can remain faithful to the end.
And we're talking with Father Matteig. We'll continue that conversation after the break and then later on in the program, continuing our pro-life discussion. Speaking of all things Catholic in life, we'll have a great conversation with Dr. Barbara Golder from the CMA, the Catholic Medical Association. More with Jesuit Father Robert Matteig when we come back on Catholic Connection.
You want what's best for your child. That's why Everest Academy invites you to their open house Sunday, January 27th between 1 and 4 p.m. At Everest, they focus their efforts on helping your child excel in four main areas: academics, spiritual formation, character development, and service to others. The result? Confident, accomplished Catholic leaders, ready to transform the world according to the standards of the gospel. Visit EverestCatholic.org to learn more. That's EverestCatholic.org.
Abortion.
Pornography.
Embryonic stem cell research.
Corporate contributions to Planned Parenthood. Do you invest in companies that are engaged in these practices? The Ave Maria Mutual Funds don't, and their investment portfolios reflect that. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can consider investing in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. You can learn more about the Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com. The advisor invests in securities only if they meet the fund's investment and religious requirements, and as such, the return may be lower or higher than if the advisor made decisions based solely on investment considerations. The fund's method of security selection may or may not be successful, and the fund may underperform or outperform the stock market as a whole. All mutual funds are subject to market risk, including possible loss of principal. For a prospectus, which includes objectives, risk, fees, charges, expenses, and other information that should be read and considered carefully before investing, call 1-866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com. Distributed by Ultimus Fund Distributors, LLC. This Ave Maria program is brought to you in part by the nonprofit CMF Curo.
Do you want an affordable health care option that enables you to protect your family and live your Catholic faith? CMF Curo is the Catholic health care ministry that works to bring health to the whole person, spirit, mind, and body. CMF Curo allows you to share health costs with other Christians and is more affordable than health insurance. Go to MyCatholicHealthCare.com. That's MyCatholicHealthCare.com. CMF Curo, healthcare, fully alive.
Having a great conversation with Father Robert Matteig. He's a member of the Maryland Province of the Society of Jesus, a Jesuit, a professor of philosophy and theology, long experience in spiritual direction, religious formation, retreat ministry. He's also a philosophy teacher at Ave Maria University and is known for his classes in both rhetoric and in medical ethics. What keeps you going, Father? And by the way, we're talking, looking at your article that you wrote on Catholic doctors, but also in light of the fact that the March for Life is tomorrow and all this emphasis on the beauty of life and church teaching. What keeps you going at a time when you must have had so many challenges, especially, let's be honest, in the Jesuit order? What kept you going and what keeps you strong in terms of speaking the truth in love?
Well, you know, I'm glad you asked that. You know, I love teaching, and I've taught at the graduate and the undergraduate level. And just for the sake of clarity, I'm not at Ave Maria anymore. I've decided I needed a bigger venue than an individual classroom, and that's why I've gotten more into writing and to broadcasting. And what keeps me going is I have an obligation to Christ. And when God called me into the Society of Jesus, it was to help souls. And teaching people to think clearly of the truths of science, the truths of reason, and the truths of the faith, that's a matter of life and death for me. And when I come before the Lord for my particular judgment, He's going to ask me, did I step up in that fight or not? So I made a promise, and God's going to hold me accountable. And if I don't get a lot of Christmas cards from a lot of the cool kids, I knew that when I married her, and I can learn to live with that.
Yeah, but Father, so did every other priest. My husband's a deacon and a religious, and all of us who make that commitment, when, you know, if we take our baptismal vows seriously, and then confirmation, we're all supposed to be realizing that we have to answer to God, and especially if we have a vocation, as you do and as do I, in terms of public teaching, being out there.
Right.
And people say, well, aren't you afraid of speaking the truth? And I'm saying, I'm afraid of what's going to happen if I don't. So this is what I don't get. I mean, these other folks, we're all reading, I would hope, the same Bible. And when it comes to priests and bishops and religious, the Scripture is pretty clear that it's going to hold teachers even more accountable.
Well, you know, there's a human weakness, and I used to, when I was teaching, I used to express it to my students this way. I called it McTague's axiom, that most institutions would rather die than admit they ever made a mistake. And McTague's corollary states that most people haven't matured past the age of 15 and are still desperate to be invited to sit at the cool kids table.
Wow.
The high school cafeteria. So when students would ask me, said, Father, you know, science and reason is on the side of life regarding contraception and abortion. Why are we trying to get the magic conscience clause, which is the equivalent of a victim of domestic abuse saying, my partner can't beat me, I have a piece of paper. Why are we doing it that way? And I said, well, because if people started teaching the truth full-throatedly, whole and entire, someone might ask, so where have you guys been in the past 50 years? Mm. No one wants to have that conversation.
But in the meantime, people are being affected not only spiritually, of course, which is most important, their salvation, but
right.
physically, just like that young woman that you talked to at that wedding.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, if you really understand oral contraceptives, you see that it's an act of chemical warfare against a woman's body and a woman's dignity. And you can see that with all of the major life issues that are so controversial. But, you know, I think right now the church, at least in the West, is in a fragile state. And I think the business model is we're afraid of losing customers. So don't say anything that will upset the customers.
And how's that been working for us lately?
Well, you know, demographically, you know, we're in a real time of winter right now. And if we communicate by the way we behave, preach, and worship, you know, none of this really matters. I don't see that as a strategy for winning souls. And someone needs to wake up and say, we're heading for the cliff. We need to slam on the brakes. And real progress is turning the car around away from the cliff.
But your point about someone would rather see something die or themselves die than you know, admit that they were wrong or admit that, you know, what they were believing in was a lie. I mean, if you look at various orders, especially when it comes to women religious, you look at the orders that are dying out and the ones that are thriving and bursting at the seams, you know, the Sisters of Life, the Dominican Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist, the Dominican Sisters in Nashville, they're
right.
growing leaps and bounds. And these others that have broken away from truth and have become more political arms, they're dying out.
Well, you know, and the euphemisms with which they cover their dark demography as well, you know, it was the grace of diminishment. And now that they're wondering who's going to turn the lights off, it's the grace of completion. And I assume the next step would be the grace of oblivion. And no one wants to talk about why is it that certain orders, the ones that you mentioned and some others, are growing. Could it have something to do with fidelity to the fullness of church teaching and fidelity to the accumulated wisdom of the church as to how consecrated life should be lived? And, you know, I was told at meetings of male religious, we have so much to learn from the women's community regarding death as part of life. And I said, well, what do we have to learn from the women's communities that are growing and are active and thriving? And I was told verbatim, well, if we listened to them, we'd have to change our theology. Next topic.
Wow.
That's when I realized I was in a fruitless conversation. But, you know, the numbers speak for themselves. And if we're intellectually honest, we have to wonder about why some are dying and some are flourishing. Can't we at least have a conversation about it?
No, we can't. At least we can on this program, but in out there in the general public and in other circles, no, it's not allowed.
Right. Yeah, it seems to be impolite or awkward, and we're told that, you know, comrade, you know, the Soviet Union is the workers' paradise. If you're not happy, there must be something wrong with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So, Father, going into the March for Life, the big event in D.C., the theme being that, you know, pro-life is pro-science. Then we have the Walk for Life in San Francisco, which is closer to you. I know you're on the West Coast. What are some of the things that we can do as faithful Catholics to try to get the message across that pro-life is indeed pro-science? What would you suggest?
Well, just tell the truth with clarity and charity. First, know the science yourself. Get your own copy of Managing Your Contraceptive Pill Patients and just see all the warning labels associated with the pill, and then ask your friends on the pill, did your doctor tell you about this? Have you ever read this fine print? Read good, strong, rational accounts of pro-life philosophy, Father Robert Spitzer, Dr. Peter Kraft, Dr. Francis Beckwith, and, the March
for Life. Gosh, all of my favorites you just listed.
and they've all been guests on my show, too.
Yeah, they're great.
And then we have to remind ourselves that the March for Life, while dramatic and stimulating, is one day a year, and we've been doing it for a long time.
46 years.
And eventually we have to step up and say, what are we doing to win over hearts? And so the next step is to say, for the sake of, by means of prayer, can I gain the courage to tell the truth in venues where it's unwelcome? And that has to be the next step.
Amen. Well, Father, you're just terrific, really. I just admire you so much. This is just so refreshing and so encouraging. And I wish we had more time. We have to have you back on. Father Robert Matteig, a member of the Maryland Province of the Society of Jesus, professor of philosophy and theology. And as you mentioned, he has a radio show and does a lot of writing. Father, where do we find you again online?
TheCross.com, Holy Family Radio Network, and Aliteia.org. I have a book on preaching called I Have Someone to Tell You, a Jesuit Herald for the Gospel. Ignatius Press is going to have another of my books come out in the spring.
Great. Look forward to having you on when that comes out. We'll be right back on Catholic Connection.
Thank you so much.
More pro-life discussion on a Thursday. Stay tuned.
Welcome to an Advanced Dentistry Center family. This is Dr. Metti, and our team strives to treat you like family in a loving and compassionate way as we focus on serving you in a Christ-like manner. We do this by emphasizing prevention and general well-being for a lifetime. Our private practice is small, personal, state-of-the-art, and innovative, with the goal to educate and motivate our patients in improving their oral health. It is through a partnership with you that you will achieve the goals for your smile. Advanced Dentistry is serious about the level of care we provide, with attention to details and an exceptional level of care, skill, and judgment. We are thrilled for the opportunity to serve you.
Dr. Matty and the team invite you to visit them at AdvancedDentistryCenter.com or call them at 248-594-9592. That's 248-594-9592. AdvancedDentistryCenter.com.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
On the next Cresta in the Afternoon.
Technology informs our understanding of what it means to be human, and advances in modern technology from computers to smartphones have yielded tremendous benefits. But what's been the downside? We're going to talk with Craig Gay. Also, Randy Boyagoda joins us looking at the legacy of Father Richard John Newhouse 10 years after his death.
Cresta in the Afternoon from 4 to 6 on 990 Ave Maria Radio.
Talking all things life today, pretty much our theme every day because we are Pro-Life Radio Network, but more specifically targeting the huge pro-life events going on in the month of January. Today we're concentrating on the March for Life coming up tomorrow, and we will be there, good Lord willing. Pray for nice weather. Right now they're saying it's looking pretty decent, and I just say that for all the people traveling today and tonight, and especially for those who have to set up and all the equipment and all that good stuff, as I mentioned earlier. Really excited to have a friend on with me, Barbara Golter, who's with the Catholic Medical Association, and we actually did a great interview with her. In addition to seeing her there at the march, Janet Morana and I sat down with her with the Women of Silent No More and did an interview for the Catholic View for Women, which aired not too long ago on our program on EWTN. And Barb is in town, and she's going to be marching. Good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm well and so excited always about this event. Now, I know that as a medical professional, doing no harm, it's something you take an oath to uphold. But when you look at the theme for this year, so life is, you're all about life, period, whether you should be, whether you're a Catholic doctor or a doctor just working out there as a person in the secular world. But this particular theme, unique from day one, pro-life is pro-science, science being behind the pro-life movement. This really is something to which good, solid medical professionals should be able to relate, correct?
Oh, absolutely. And I think one of the reasons that they have difficulty relating to it is twofold. First, I think that not so much medical professionals, but other folks don't necessarily understand the science. They don't understand the uniqueness of the DNA. They don't understand when the heart beats and the brainwaves start and all of those things that make a baby a baby. But also because we've never really engaged with this generation what it means to be a person. And so connecting those two things comes naturally, I think, for the pro-life movement, for Catholics. But there's been a disconnect that we are, in fact, you know, a soul and a body, and they're connected together. And how that works as personhood, I think, is kind of elusive to the rest of the world. So I think that we have, with the science, an ability to get people to begin to stop and think, really, about what they're doing here, about what they're seeing here in the development of the baby, and change minds. I think I'm excited. I think it's a good theme, and I think we'll make some good progress with it.
And so what other members of the Catholic Medical Association are going to be at the march tomorrow, and what will you be doing? Any specific events for the annual march?
Well, we will be marching as a group, so if you see a bunch of people in white coats, that's going to be us.
Yay.
I've got to dig one out because pathologists don't wear white coats very often. I may actually have to go out and buy one. You never know.
Yeah.
But we will be marching together. But we have a number of things that we do, various meetings we go to. We meet with the people from Solidarity Health, for example. Everybody is there at the march. I mean, it's the greatest congregation of Catholic groups, I think, maybe in the country at any one given time. So it's an opportunity to network and to meet the people from EWTN and from all of the Catholic news organizations and catch up and touch base and make new connections. So I'm excited. The president will be there. Usually the past president will be there. Of course, our executive director and lots of people in the trenches will be there. So I'm excited.
Is there one particular joint statement that you're going to be making? I know you're going to be with us tomorrow, several of your physicians and yourself, hopefully before the march, just to talk about why you're there. What main message do you want to get out as a Catholic Medical Association group?
Well, I have not seen the statement yet, but that's in large part because I've been buried in my duties as the editor of the Lineker Quarterly, so I can't speak to the exact details. But I do know that as you said, this topic of science supports the pro-life view is near and dear to the Catholic Medical Association heart, and it makes it easier. It gives us a platform to really get out and evangelize our fellow physicians. And I think that's going to be what comes out of this.
Do you think that more physicians, given the culture and the climate, are they willing to speak out? Are they feeling more threatened? What are you seeing in terms of their willingness to stand up for life?
I think they're all willing. I think that the consequences are different depending on where they are. I happen to be in Tennessee, which is a very pro-life area. So there's no particular cost to standing up and saying I'm pro-life. And if, for example, my town doesn't even have an abortion clinic. The abortion clinic was closed many years ago and is now the National Memorial to the Unborn. So there's not much social cost to standing up against it. And I've happened to be in a place like the Northwest or the Northeast where it's socially very different. Then the cost can be significant. Physicians have had they've been constrained in their practice. Some of them have even lost their jobs as a result of standing up and speaking for the pro-life cause. So it can be it can be very costly. That being said, I don't see too many physicians who are pro-life and timid about saying so.
Are you seeing more of them then come together? I mean, not just with the Catholic Medical Association, but talking to each other, networking, helping each other out?
Yeah, you know, the place that I think a lot of evangelization on this topic, and I call it evangelization because I think it is in the doctor's lounge, where doctors get together and sit down over lunch or coffee or whatever and just talk. And again, this pathologist anyway doesn't sit in the doctor's lounge very much, but my husband does. And he's had some very good conversations with physicians who feel differently about this than he does. And who knows? All we're called to do is witness and plant seeds, but there's an opportunity to do that. And I think that we really only change minds by witness and by relationship. And so if we can't do it one-on-one, all of the talking in the world isn't going to happen. So what we need are pro-life physicians to be friends with and converse the way you and I are conversing, casually, over and over again, in a relationship of friendship. And that's how minds get changed. They don't, I don't think, really get changed by position papers or books or what have you. They get changed because someone they respect shows them a different way to do things. And that, I think, is what we're called to do. And I think one of the things that the march does is give us the energy and the enthusiasm to go out and make those relationships.
How large are you now in terms of membership?
The president will probably, you know, have my head for this because I don't remember the exact number, but it's growing. We're several thousand physicians, but I don't know. I really don't know the number, and I would hesitate to make a mistake. I should do that. I'll know that next time I come on.
But I think it's grown though, hasn't it, Barb?
It has grown, and it is growing. And one of our challenges, and it's a good challenge, is to grow more. I think that many physicians who are Catholic don't even know about the Catholic Medical Association, and we also have relationships with professionals who are not physicians, nurses, and pretty much anybody. There's a membership category for pretty much anybody who wants to support Catholic medicine, even patients who want to be a friend of the Catholic Medical Association. There's a pew for them in the membership lineup, and it's not that expensive. So one of the things I would just love is if Catholic patients would sort of spur their doctors on to look for membership in the Catholic Medical Association and would support us themselves, because the more voices we have, the bigger platform we have.
Yeah, absolutely. We're talking with Dr. Barbara Golder from the Catholic Medical Association, and she and a group of docs will be at the march tomorrow. They're going to be marching wearing white coats up Constitution Avenue, which is really cool. I've actually interviewed a whole group of the members of the Catholic Medical Association more than once with their white coats on, and it's very impressive. Now, if it's really cold tomorrow, make sure you dress warmly. One year, I remember, it was so cold, and there was a doctor that had nothing but the white coat on and, like, a shirt and a thin sweater. I felt so sorry for him because, you know, you have to dress warmly. I digress, but that's just popped into my head when I saw that image of all those wonderful doctors that came to us a few years ago with their white lab coats on. Again, this whole idea of having doctors form a Catholic Medical Association, or even, let's say, a group like Nurses for Life or Priests for Life, it seems like we shouldn't even need that. Common sense should say there should be Priests for Life, period. We shouldn't need a separate organization. We shouldn't need doctors who claim to be pro-life, because that's part of who you are, you know, protecting life and doing no harm. Does that ever strike you as odd? Because when you look at the situation in our culture today, I think about that a lot.
I do, but I'm getting to the point in my life where I don't think so much about what should happen, but I figure out what is happening,
right,
and decide how to respond to it. And what is happening is we need a voice that's pro-life. And we are the body of Christ. Some of us are hands, some of us are feet, some of us are eyes. You know, we all have different roles. And I think that it's important to remember that just because there's X number of people who belong to the Catholic Medical Association or Nurses for Life or whatever, doesn't mean those are the only people who are pro-life. It means those are the people who've been tasked with going out and making sure the rest of the world understands that we're pro-life. And when you look at it that way, it's actually a little bit like a kid's soccer game. When kids first learn to play soccer, they all do the same thing, but eventually they learn to play their positions. We're playing our position, and our position happens to be putting this message out there. Other people do other things. And when you look at it that way, then there's really a lot more behind Priests for Life, Nurses for Life, the Catholic Medical Association than just the people on the ground. And in that way, I think it's kind of exciting.
That's a great point. CathMed.org, by the way, is the website, CathMed.org. So what issues, events, big situations are coming up for the Catholic Medical Association 2019, Barb?
Well, we're going to be having our annual meeting in Nashville, which I'm thrilled about because it's in my backyard. And we're going to be talking about how to care for the caregiver. It's exhausting, emotionally and spiritually draining to be a physician or a nurse or anybody in healthcare, especially now. Maybe it's no worse than it was in the past, but it's now, and we're experiencing it. And so we're talking about, going to be talking about coming together to see how we can help support each other in that kind of need. And I think that's important because often we forget how to care for the caregivers, whether they're mothers or physicians or priests. We forget that they need care as well. So that's the big thing coming up. We're going to be meeting in fact, I think the week after the march for our board meeting to sort of put that together. So that will be a lot of fun. The Lineker Quarterly, which is my piece, is introducing some new things in the new year, including some columns that are going to be broader and perhaps more accessible and more directed towards physicians or other healthcare providers, being able to share them with their patients, things that are a little less esoteric and scientific and a little more bringing bioethics and medicine down into the ordinary life of people who are not scientists. So that's kind of exciting. And the CMA, of course, fields all of the current hot-button issues. When something comes up and there's a Catholic position on it, somebody calls the CMA and they take care of it. So there's always adventure.
I think caring for the caregiver is really important. I know even for family members who are caregivers, and my mother is now in assisted living, but it's still a great responsibility, and it can be very draining emotionally. So I can only imagine what, on the medical side, what you go through.
Oh, it is. And I think this is one of those places where this is obviously a group of Catholic physicians coming together to talk about it from largely a Catholic perspective, but the message and the mission and the problem are not limited to Catholics. Secular physicians go through this, too.
Same thing. And that could be a great way to witness to them, though, too. I mean, in terms of reaching out and inviting them to this conference. Go ahead.
I would love for people to invite other physicians who are not Catholics to this conference because I think they get a lot out of it.
My dear, good to talk to you, and we'll be seeing you, good Lord willing, tomorrow morning. The website is CathMed.org. The doctors from the Catholic Medical Association marching for life, along with the rest of us. We'll be right back on a Thursday morning. Stay tuned.
Hello, this is Steve Ray. I'd like to invite you to go on a pilgrimage with me. Why a pilgrimage? It's life-changing. It makes the Bible come alive. We have several coming up in the fall and winter of this year. St. Paul Cruise, 9 biblical sites, Mexico and Guadalupe. It's very safe and beautiful, by the way, and many to the Holy Land.
Pick the pilgrimage that's right for you. Go to AveMariaRadio.net and click on the pilgrimage link. There's two coming up and a lot more to come. AveMariaRadio.net. Today's programming on 990 WDEO is brought to you in part by a gift made from our day sponsor, Carol Love, for Better Way Design, a Fair Trade Certified Freedom Alliance company, bringing dignity, freedom, and hope to women rescued from sex trafficking. Call 734-686-7185 to find out how to be a part of a better way fight against sex trafficking.
You're listening to Ave Maria Radio.
Ave Maria Radio.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 10 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan cost goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
This is Father Frank Pavone of Priests for Life.
On January 18th, the day of the March for Life in Washington, various religious groups, including Priests for Life, will gather for the annual National Interdenominational Prayer Service, honoring the preborn and their mothers and fathers. This service, which starts with a Mass, has been held for 25 years and takes place in Constitution Hall. This year, we will welcome as our special guest speakers Father Mitch Pacwa of EWTN and Sandra Merritt, who helped to do the undercover work exposing Planned Parenthood and their sale of baby body parts. Father Mitch and Sandra will also receive the Pro-Life Recognition Award. I will deliver the sermon, and Evangelist Alveda King will give an exhortation. See more details at nationalprayerservice.com.
This is Father Frank Pavone on Ave Maria Radio.
Thanks so much for listening to Catholic Connection. And just remember, if you're a new listener or not, if you've been on board with us for a while, you may not know that we are co-produced, actually, by Ave Maria Radio and EWTN. And you can find us both online, all kinds of great resources, at EWTN.com and AveMariaRadio.net. Now, I give you those websites quite often because I want to remind you, if you heard something on the show today, yesterday, last week, you can go to those websites and you can go to the archive sections or you can look them up and we have records of them for you. And if you heard, let's say, maybe about a book or a document, you can certainly go to EWTN in the religious catalog to order an item, or you can look up any type of encyclical or papal document or information about any of our shows there as well. So these are great resources in addition to great Catholic radio every day. We'll see you next time on Catholic Connection.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio, and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Kruchek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening, and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.